Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. This is episode 1101, which was my house number growing up. And if you would like to send a box of shit to 1101 East 3rd Street in Escapec, my former stepdad will get it, and that will be hilarious. So, yeah. Aki and Bree are here. How are you two doing?
All right.
I suddenly have an urge to send you a package.
Oh, it's not me.
Well, it'd still be addressed
to you. Did you not pay attention?
Oh, no. I was paying attention, but it'd still be addressed to you.
Why?
So what you're saying is we should send a package that's like a glitter bomb, but like the glitter should all be dicks? Is that what I'm thinking would be appropriate to send?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. 1101, 1103, 1105. I think any of those will get to Barado. You know, sales and service in Escapec, Pennsylvania. It's a business. I'm allowed to mention a business.
Yeah.
That my mom worked at for fucking 20 years.
Jesus.
Because she was married to the owner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I said former stepdad. Yeah.
Sure.
He was a dick, which is why he deserves dicks.
And shit.
Yeah. You know what wasn't shit?
What?
The number of awards that Claire Obscure won this year at the Video Game Awards.
True story.
Good God, did it dominate the show.
Yep.
Yeah. This was just their show.
It was. They were up for, what, 12 or 13? And they took 9.
Yep.
9! The previous record was 7, held by The Last of Us 2.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's how good Claire Obscure is. In contrast, the Game Awards were not that good.
No, they were pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
It had its highlights.
It did, but let's zip through things. They had the pre-show. Pretty much everything except for one game that was announced during the pre-show was Steam or Steam and PlayStation. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty annoying. But the Free Shepherd, there was a dog, and it comes out in 2027 on PS5 and Steam.
I already don't remember that one.
Yeah, it's just the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you played as a sheepdog herding sheep. That's it.
Yeah.
Best family game, Donkey Kong Bonanza. Well deserved.
Yeah, that was fair.
I don't think Claire Obscure could have won that one.
No.
No, probably not.
Brand new game called Decrepit coming to Steam, developed by a Souls fan from Sweden.
And all of us hated how the woman pronounced it.
Yeah.
Decrepit. Or whatever the hell she said.
Yeah.
Audio Mech, a demo is out right now on Steam. Your music does everything in the game. Weapons, enemies, power-ups, your music is the game. And I would love to get my hands on this one because it's really interesting.
That was when I wasn't even able to watch the trailer. So,
yeah, I'm kind of curious how it works. Like, if the actual music has like a grand effect on things,
I don't know how it's gonna treat it.
Music I could play that it would, you know, do cool stuff. Like there was a game called Monster Rancher on PlayStation you could put your own music CDs and it would give you special monsters based on like the data that was on the disc. And so you could put the same CD, like you could you know, tell your friend, hey, go grab this one CD, put it in, and you'll get this monster. It was repeatable. And then you could make your own mix tape or mix CD, and you could use that and like breed your own special monsters. It was badass.
I didn't know you could do mix CDs. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass. Best innovation and accessibility went to Doom the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Xbox and Bethesda are usually pretty good with accessibility these days, so rock on for them. Guild Wars 2 Visions of Eternity is an expansion that's coming out. A new region hit Escape from Dukhov. And then Pragmata got a new trailer. It got also got a release date of April 24th and an announcement for Switch 2.
I was so excited. I was so glad they gave us a date.
Yeah, we know. We heard you. Give me a date. Give me a date.
That's all I've wanted for over a year now.
Speaking of bad dates, Jacob's here. Jacob, how you doing? What?
I said woo.
Woo.
Woo. Yeah.
We're talking Game Awards. We're at the pre-show right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Best mobile game went to something. Something pretty derby.
Yeah.
Mama Sume, something like that. Yeah.
I never
heard of it. Lost 2 is happening March 12th on Steam Early Access.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
From Kepler. Kepler is also doing Tank Rat. That is going to be hitting PC and PS5 in spring. Hopefully it hits other platforms eventually. And then
Kepler
best
was all over the Game Awards.
Hmm?
Kepler was all over the Game Awards in general.
They were. Good to see. I like
Good
Kepler.
On them. Yeah.
Best independent game. Aphil snubbed again. But it went to Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, Aphil. Bradley the Badger was announced for Steam. It is from Day for Night, a new studio with ties to Red Dead and Rabbids. And there are tons of game parodies with badgers.
That looks so cool. I want to know more about that one.
Awesome. And I hope it hits everything.
Yeah, I love how it faked us out at first. Make
and
it because it's yeah, and then it did just Bloodborne, but with a badger, and then then the trailer went to another place, and it was Badger something else. Oh, that was such a good trailer.
Yeah, they showed off Stupid Never Dies. It's very Lollipop Chainsaw like.
Yeah, extremely.
Looked pretty cool. PS5, Steam, yay. And then best adaptation, Last of Us Season 2.
Fair.
Yeah.
That was the pre-show. Hold your excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Holding.
I thought the pre-show was pretty good.
Oh, yay! Let's get to the main show of the Video Game Awards. They opened it up. First off was best action game. And went to Hades 2.
Yay.
EG.
I wasn't expecting it because Clair Obscur was in that, but I'm glad it won. That was nice.
No, I don't think they were in best action.
Clair Obscur was in that one.
Oh, they weren't?
No. Hmm.
They were in best RPG.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which, shocker, they won.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that eventually. Star Wars Fate of the Old Republic is coming to PC and console. Directed by Casey Hudson of BioWare fame. Did they mention who's developing this or publishing this?
I don't know.
I don't recall it.
I don't believe so.
Just that
Andrew
it
was
exists.
Telling me something he read based on some information about they hadn't even started yet. We'd be lucky to see it by, you know, 2030.
2030, yeah.
Yeah.
So get your hopes up, everybody.
They're already way, way up into the stratosphere. It's fine.
Oh, what did I miss, Bree? I saw the red thing pop up, and you killed it before I got a chance to even look.
It was just the normal BS.
No, just followers.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah.
Next up was quite possibly the most fucked up trailer I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, it's so good.
Divinity is coming from Larian Studios. That is what the Hellstone was in the desert. Like, remember the Diablo trailer that had the hand ripping apart?
Yeah, where she was on a boat. Yeah. Yep.
This makes that seem really luxurious.
Yeah, that was so tame in comparison.
This trailer, wow. Like, it literally had everything. Insane violence, demons, sex,
burning children alive.
Clapping at people being burned alive. It was very weird. Very weird. Very graphic, very insane, and I can't wait to see more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, Best Liar performance went to Jennifer English of Clair Obscur. Yay.
That was fair. Well won.
That was such a great intro to the award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really good together.
Yeah. For Loop is a new game from Bad Robot Games and Sony. It looks to be a roguelike four-player shooter hitting PS5 and PC.
It looked pretty good.
It did. I'm curious to know more about it.
Yeah.
So. Coven of the Chickenfoot from Wildflower Interactive, where you play a grandma with chicken legs who can float.
And you have a weird monster that you're constantly trying to coax into doing stuff. It looked so good. It reminded me of, like, Ico and stuff. I'm very excited to see what that ends up being.
I'm just going to say that I was sold at grandma with chicken legs who can float.
Yeah.
Fair.
Ontos is a new game from Frictional Games and Kepler, the makers of Soma. This is a spiritual successor. Releasing next year, 2026, on PlayStation, PC, and Xbox.
I want. Looks good.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass. A new character in Zenless Zone Zero was announced. Some Angels of Delusion thing. I have no idea because I don't follow the game. And then Game for Impact Award went to South of Midnight. And the Xbox game developers took to the stage to announce it's coming to Switch 2 and PS5 in spring.
Yay.
So even when Xbox gets an award, Nintendo and Sony get announcements. What the fuck? new segment, Resident Evil Requiem, was shown off. Breaking news to the world, Leon Kennedy is in the game. Shocker. Nobody saw this coming, and it is out February 27th.
I actually legitimately didn't know he was going to be in it. I assumed it was just going to be her. Yeah. Wow. I thought he was
one of the worst kept secrets, like, in Resident Evil history. It's Leon. He's got to be in everything anymore. Him and Chris. Order of the Sinking Star is a new puzzle game with various mechanics, looking to be in a massive overworld from Jonathan Blow, developer of Braid and The Witness. This will be hitting Steam in 2026.
And for all you 1,000 puzzles?
1,400, I think they said. Oh, okay. So any of you puzzle lovers, there you go. Giant fuck-off size puzzle game.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that one looked pretty good. Exodus is a new sci-fi shooter from Wizards of the Coast that'll be hit PS5, PC, and Xbox in early 27.
That looked pretty cool.
And this was like the year for sci-fi shooter.
Yeah.
Sci-fi action game awards. After that, Warlock Dungeons and Dragons. There will be a gameplay reveal next summer, full release 2027 for Xbox, PS5, and PC. Wizards of the Coast went and paid for fucking Tool for this trailer.
It was a pretty nice trailer.
Like, yeah. What kind of money did they spend to get Tool for their trailer? I mean, right, I know Tool doesn't do stuff or just anything. Like, they were the ones who, if you ever picked any of their songs in a set list, in whatever Guitar Hero game they were in, you only got the Tool background because you could not have different musicians playing their songs.
Mm.
Yep. Screamers is a racing combat game hitting March 26th on Xbox, PlayStation, PC. It looks like a mix of like anime action and Forza Horizon.
Yeah, it was interesting getting those two different visual styles mixed together. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I am very interested in this one. I've been getting some PR blasts for it in a while, and I'm glad to see more video of it. And hopefully we get to check that one out when it rolls along in March. Roll, get it? Because it's cars?
We have a sound for that, you know.
No, we actually have a ka-chow sound.
Oh, no, I was going to go. Yeah. Control Resonant, a new game from Remedy in the Control universe, coming out next year, Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and you swing a big-ass hammer.
Yeah, you're playing as Kate's brother, David, I think it was, and it's melee-focused. It looks pretty cool.
I'm going to beat people up with a hammer.
From what it looked like you could change the weapon into various other types of weapons. Because I know at one point in it, he turned it into like two spears. So that it looked pretty cool. I'm so excited. I loved that universe.
Hey, Jacob, the hammer is my penis.
Yeah. Mm. Wonderful.
My soul.
I know. Dr. Horrible was awesome. Gang of Dragon, a new game from Nagashi Studio.
I don't remember much of this one. It was a Yakuza style game. It looked fantastic. They didn't show a whole bunch. It was mostly focusing on the main character, just people trying to beat him up and then ending up shooting each other because they're stupid.
Oh yeah, the dude he shot and just ducked and shot the other dude. That was great. That was funny.
That was pretty funny.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
Street Fighter movie trailer happened and most of the cast came out. 50 Cent was not there, unfortunately.
Too busy making a Diddy documentary.
But Cody was there and his neck tattoo.
And they made fun of the Mortal Kombat team, and that was really funny.
I wonder if that was planned or not. I think Andrew Schultz just fucking did that on his own.
I have a feeling, yeah, probably. Because I don't think they would have been okay with that.
Yeah, that was pretty great, though. Best ongoing game went to No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Doesn't shock me. And very it will cool probably to see, continue to get it.
Yeah, very good to see the game still getting attention. It's good to see how they turn that one around.
Yeah.
Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight was shown off, hitting literally fucking everything May 29th. That might even be hitting Xbox 360 at this point.
Yeah.
PS3, Wii U.
And it's focused on basically everything Batman, because it seemed to show a bunch of different scenes from all the movies. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, this one looks real. Jacob, did you see the trailer for that one?
I did. I'm stoked about it. I really appreciate all the, like, I mean, first off, it looks fun. It looks dumb as hell, but it also looks super fun. Both my kids and I are excited about it. But what I really appreciated in that is the deep cut of just including the character Joe in there, who I don't think he's made an appearance since the first Street Fighter game.
We're on Lego Batman.
What?
We're on Lego Batman right now.
I thought we were talking about Street Fighter.
No, we moved on. Two different things.
Oh.
Yeah, best ongoing game went to No Man's Sky. Now we're talking about Lego Batman.
Oh, well, okay. Well, now you know my thoughts on Street Fighter. Lego Batman is looking pretty good and sexy.
Looks like they're using the Arkham Combat Engine, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
bunch of awards got announced. Best audio design went to Battlefield 6. Best fighting game went to Fatal Fury City of the Wolves. Most anticipated game went to Grand Theft Auto 6, shocking everybody. And content creator of the year, I believe the seventh year running, the SML podcast wins again. We are your content creator of the year. Thank you, Jeff Keighley. We appreciate the honor. Try to make the show next year.
Will we?
No. Girls Make Games were given a spotlight. They talked about them for a while.
Presented by Felicia Day.
As a, yeah.
That was the best part also of that whole
in Dr. Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And My Dreams.
That we reviewed recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
FMV.
FMV. I was like, I wanted to call it a visual novel, and I'm like, that's not quite right.
Yeah.
After that, they showed off two different Tomb Raider games coming along. Tomb Raider Catalyst is a brand new entry hitting 2027 on Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and Tomb Raider Legacy of Atlantis, I believe, is a remake of the first game hitting next year.
Yeah.
It seemed like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they completely updated to where it has current day graphics, but you're still doing
it's a remake.
First game.
It's a full remake.
Yeah, I was more specifying that it's not just built like the current games, because you're still doing all the moves from like the original games, where like how she lifts herself up and stuff, how she did that handstand and then bent and was standing from the ledge grab. That's all from old games. I really like that. That was really cool.
You just liked her boobs.
Well, there's that too, but and I really like seeing that handstand going into a back bend to stand up for boob reasons.
Forest 3 got announced. I have no idea what the fuck it is, but it looks creepy.
Yeah.
I assume that has some relation to Sons of the Forest, maybe?
I don't know.
No, I'm not sure.
I don't know. New trailer for Invincible Versus. That'll be out April 30th. And then another Kepler game was shown off from Shape Farm called Orbitals, which is a co-op space adventure exclusively for Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
That made me so sad. I want that game, but I don't
want to buy it. It might hit 2. Other platforms in the future. Give it time. Kepler likes to hit everything. So.
Yeah, it was like an 80s inspired anime style game. I was so fucking. Oh, that looks so good.
Jacob, did you look at that game? I think I linked it to you.
Which one?
Orbitals.
No, I didn't look at it.
You're a wiener.
I was busy at work today.
Four more awards got announced. Best action adventure game, Hollow Knight Silksong.
Yay.
Fair.
Yay, they got something this year. Best art direction, Clairobscur.
Mm-hmm.
Best sim strategy game, Final Fantasy Tactics, The Ivalice Chronicles.
Woo.
I wonder if they patched that trophy or the achievement glitch yet.
I think so.
Probably. And then best debut. What, Aki?
Was it to get an achievement easier, or was it something that was just breaking achievement, making it impossible to get?
1K the game immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
By changing the language to Japanese and loading your game.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
Literally, that's it. That's it. It's not like any complex glitch. Save your game, go to the menu, change the language to Japanese, load the game, whoop, everything pops.
If I had that game, I would have gotten all the achievements by accident without even knowing about the glitch, because that's what I would have done anyways. Holy shit.
No, you probably would have changed it to Japanese right off the bat.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have had a chance to load the game in English at all.
Oh, do you have to load in English first to,
yes,
and then into Japanese? Yes. Okay, I wouldn't have gotten them all. Damn.
Best debut indie, Clairobscur. Jogging.
Yep.
Reasonable.
Diablo 4, Lord of Hatred. Coming out April 28th. If you pre-order it now, you get the Paladin class now.
Was that the really kick-ass trailer one where he was, like, cutting through things with a sword? Oh, that trailer was so awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
That was one of the better trailers. That was so good.
The full expansion will have a second class, which is not announced yet. And then they have a handful of different additions you could pick up with various bonuses, in-game currency and skins and other shit that you get right now. So,
very nice.
Marvel Rivals is getting Deadpool in January.
Yay.
Yeah.
And then 007 First Light is getting Lenny Kravitz.
Mm. Yep.
I don't know why, but I wonder if his dick's going to pop out.
Wait, why?
You've seen it, right?
Have I seen what?
Lenny Kravitz's dick. From the concert when he like squatted down, his pants tore open, it was just like, pimp.
I don't think so.
Man, you're missing out.
I mean, is... I'm guessing it's adequately sized.
Pierce, too.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Best score in music went to Claire Obscure. Lorien Tassard. Then they showed some Warframe thing. I don't know at all.
Soulframe.
Yeah.
It's their new game. I think that
was different, wasn't it? Soulframe different from Warframe?
Yeah, it's a. It's no longer ninjas in space. It's now... ninjas and fantasy land.
Yeah, whatever. Where was I? Lords of the Fallen 2, which I guess is Lords of the Fallen 3 or Lords of the Fallen 2.2. I don't know. Next year, Xbox, PlayStation, PC.
You like look at that?
It looks so good. It looks so good. Yeah, more awards. Crazy that they give awards out in an award show. Best sports and racing game. Sonic got robbed, and it went to Mario Kart.
It did not deserve that whatsoever.
No. Sonic Racing is better.
It was very meh. Significantly.
Best community support. Baldur's Gate 3.
Completely fair.
Best VR AR game. The Midnight Walk.
Yep.
Best RPG. Kemco. Sorry, not your year. Claire Obscure.
Yeah.
Then Player's Voice went to Wuthering Waves, whatever the hell that is. I hate the Player's Voice because dumb shit like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is really popular right now.
So it was going against Genshin. How old is Genshin? Why should that be up for a best anything of this year?
Because people are stupid.
I hate van vote shit. All bad. Saros got a trailer. Housemarque and Sony. That comes out April 30th. Very much in the vein of Returnal. With shooty shooty pew pew as you dodge the shooty shooty pew pew.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah. Best narrative. Claire Obscure.
Yay.
Yay.
Fair.
No Law is a new game coming from Krafton. Presumably, it'll be made entirely out of AI. Comes out on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
It looked so fucking cool.
Hope it's good, and hope it's not garbage made by AI. We'll see.
Me too.
Where the Winds Meet, the Imperial Palace next year.
Vanessa.
I don't really remember too much of that. Phasmophobia hitting Switch 2 next year. And then best multiplayer game, Ark Raiders.
Reasonable.
I need to play that. I hear it's so good. David Harbour came out to announce that not only is a new Total War game coming out, but he himself will be in it as part of Total War Warhammer 40K.
Yeah.
That looked great. It will hit Xbox, PlayStation, PC. From Sega, so.
Boot.
Bandai Namco showed off Ace Combat 8 Wings of Thieves.
Meh.
The thing that happened. I thought it looked pretty good. It was like mix of life sim and dogfighting. It was weird.
Yeah, I really like the sim aspect of it. Everything there looked really cool. I've never been a big fan of aerial dogfights, though, so that one was kind of sadly lost on me.
Yeah. After that, Star Wars Galactic Racers, brand new racing game in the Star Wars universe, launches next year, PC, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Woot.
Jacob, did you see that one?
Which one, I'm sorry?
Star Wars Galactic Racers.
Yes. I'm excited about that, and we might be getting Sebulba in this game, but a lot of people seem to be wondering whether or not pod racers are actually going to be in it. I thought I saw a pod racer in there, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how everything gets classified nowadays, because they describe it as various repulsor craft, which, I mean, that's like every damn thing under the sun that can't go into space.
There was a pod racer in there. I don't think they actually showed it in any of the races. But
I thought they did, because there's definitely something like that. I mean, it has a pod and it's got two engines strapped to it. Like, it looked like a pod racer. It just didn't have that energy field thing in between. So I don't know. I figured that there was, but and I looked on the website and they don't tell you anything yet. So,
well, we will find out more in the future. But Out of Words was a handcrafted stop motion co-op adventure. This one is releasing next year on Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and Switch 2.
That one looks good.
I've been excited for this since last year when it was announced.
And then came the only part of the live-action stuff that was tolerable, and that was Rolf from The Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
His song was ingenious. I love it.
He shit-talked everybody as low-key as possible, and I loved it.
It was wholesome.
Rolf is the best. Duet Night Abyss is hitting mobile and PC December 23rd, whatever that is. And then Phantom Blade Zero will be releasing September 9th next year, PC, PS5.
Yep.
Best Game Direction, Claire Obscure.
Yeah.
And then Mega Man is back. Mega Man Dual Override announced for 2027 on everything.
I'm so excited. Oh man, like, it looks really cool. My wife was like, she thought it looked pretty neat. And yeah, I'm just excited that we're getting a new Mega Man game, period dot. I'm psyched.
My buddy Adam, our good friend Adam Chase, Big Adam, posted on Facebook. He's like, you want the Blue Bomber to be a huge franchise title after having a 2-decade history of canceling his appearances in legacy collections. I'm like, what legacy collections did they cancel?
The only thing I could for think, Xbox?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
That was never announced. That was never announced.
That's true. I mean, Mega Man Legends 3.
That wasn't canceled. A legacy collection. That was just one game.
Well, what I'm saying is that, like, there is no legacy collection for that series. I mean, they did the regular series. They've done X, they've done Zero, they've done ZX, they've done Battle Network.
Yeah.
Star Force was
never announced, so they didn't cancel it.
I think. It's still shitty.
I think people vilify Capcom for neglecting Mega Man when in the past 9 years we got Legacy Collection, Legacy Collection 2, X Legacy, X Legacy 2, Zero ZX Legacy, Battle Network Legacy, and Star Force Legacy in 9 years. Like, if people are still pissed about one cancellation in 2011, let it go. Let it the fuck go. 15 years, let it go. Mega Man is fine. Nothing, no one.
I mean,
I don't care about Mega Man, so.
Rude.
They did a sneak peek of Mario Galaxy Movie, which will be out in April.
That looked kind of cute.
Yep. New trailer Luigi. For Neo 3 hitting PS5 and PC February 6th. A demo will launch late January.
The trailers for those games look so fucking cool every single time.
They showed a new trailer for Solo Leveling Arise Overdrive, which is out now on PC and will hit Series and PS5 next year.
I'm excited for that one. I really like the manhwa for that. It's really good.
And then one final reveal of the night. That's a fucking multiplayer shooter.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Highguard, which is what, like Overwatch Teemu edition? Makers of Apex and Titanfall, Wildlight Entertainment. It's going to launch in January for Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. I have zero hype for this game.
Yeah, it didn't. They were, you know, playing off this idea that they're reinventing the shooter genre and doing something different finally. And I don't believe.
And they're not doing anything different whatsoever.
There's horses in it.
Yeah, there's horses in it.
I don't fucking care about online shooters.
Yeah, I'm not an online shooter person.
I am over them. I'm over them. Give me single player stuff. I don't need live service shit all the time. And for that to be the final reveal, really?
Sad.
Should have been Divinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that trailer would have been something that everyone would have remembered the end of that bitch for. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then game of the year goes to
Donkey Kong!
Bratz Rhythm and Style. Now, Clair Obscur, which takes its ninth award. Previous record was Last of Us 2 with 7 wins. So a brand new upstart indie took down Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's and every awesome. AAA group that was there. It was nice. I like that.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the Game Awards. Game. What'd y'all think?
I thought it was really meh.
My response can be summed up with one sound.
See, it was fine. I don't really watch them for the actual award stuff. I watch them for the trailers.
And even that was lackluster.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't amazing or anything, but it was okay. I didn't think it was a big stinker, at least, but it wasn't like the best thing I've ever seen. It was just okay.
The highlight of the show
where I was too.
Was Clair Obscur.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I really liked the flute man playing the kitchen pipes.
The PVC pipes, yeah.
Yeah.
He's joining Blue Man Group. That's not all the news, though. We got some more news we got to tackle. PlayStation Plus game catalog. Update December 16th. Bunch of games joining. Skate Story released December 8th. That is out and available now. The rest of these out on the 16th with Assassin's Creed Mirage. Wolong Fallen Dynasty. Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, Planet Coaster 2, Cat Quest 3, Lego Horizon Adventures. Why? Like, wasn't that monthly? Like, last month? And then Paw Patrol Grand Prix and Paw Patrol World.
Nice.
Premium gets one game, Soul Calibur 3 on PS2. That's it.
All right.
Yeah. Game catalog's good, though.
Yeah.
And Grand Blue. I might have to give Grand Blue a try if I bump back up to mid-tier. But Nintendo Switch Online got some more games. On the 17th, N64 will be getting Rayman 2, The Great Escape, and Tonic Trouble, which was apparently a prototype for Rayman 2. Yeah.
Okay.
And then available now on the GameCube Nintendo Switch Online service is Wario World. Very cool there. Two more things. Aspyr has delayed Deus Ex Remastered from February 5th to an unannounced date. guessing it's because everybody hated the reveal.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah. And then last bit of news I have. Surprise, Fort Solace is out next week on Xbox on the 19th. Mm. Yeah. We were surprised by that when it's like, hey, do you want to review this? Oh, I didn't know it's coming. There you go. Aki, what news do you have?
Fucking nothing!
Woo! You will never learn that your woos peak your mic. Bree, what news do you have?
It ain't fucking Ric Flair.
I was surprised, actually, Aki didn't take this one. The rumored Assassin's Creed Black Flag remake appears to get a resynced subtitle on the PEGI Ratings Board website, and it's now looking like it's real. Previous rumors and supposed leaked information suggest that there will be, like, new story content, and all of the modern-day story will be taken out.
That kind of
doesn't bother me at all.
Mixed bag there. Skyrim 2 is now available on Switch 2. Not Skyrim 2, just Skyrim is now available on Switch 2. Yeah, there you go.
I hear performance-wise, it's not the best. Apparently, it's like 50-plus gig. Or something that was, you know, originally on 360.
Yeah.
And then frame rate and just performance issues seem to be plaguing it. Hopefully they get it patched.
Yeah. And then I just got this in my email. There's a Stranger Things crossover in Microsoft Flight Simulator. There's five missions you can do in a helicopter. You can fly over Hawkins, Indiana.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. That's all the news I have.
All right, Jacob, what do you got?
I got nothing.
There wasn't like Sonic movie news or anything?
I don't think so.
I'm more amazed that there wasn't any Dreamlight Valley news.
Yeah.
I mean, now that you mention it, the new Star Path has started.
You're fucking kidding me!
You brought that on yourself. So there is the new Star Path that just started, and also the community dragon that the community designed that is now available with a code. So
50.
Yeah. And I don't know if she's available already or she will be, but Cinderella is coming to the valley. So with this latest update.
That's cool. Oh, I could throw in two more quick things. The Yakuza 0 pricing is fixed on Xbox. So if you own Yakuza 0, you can get the remastered version. It is a just for you offer for $15. Then Kiwami is $2 and Kiwami 2 is free. It's just in your ready to install, ready to go.
That's fucking awesome.
Indeed. And then No Gravity Games is doing their yearly Switchmas giveaway. They had a newsletter if you sign up for, you got a free game code. And now if you own the first game, today you got Bullets and Brains for free. And if you own Bullets and Brains, tomorrow will be another game for free. And then the 14th and 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and on the 19th, there will be three games.
Nice.
My so, God.
No Gravity Games giving away 10 games for Switch owners this year.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Good stuff. All right. Review time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Jacob, you ready?
Yeah.
You sure?
Maybe. Probably about as ready as, you know, as I'm going to be.
True. First game to talk about tonight is Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, developed by Massive Entertainment, published by Ubisoft, and provided to us by Ubisoft for the purpose of this discussion. Originally released back in 2023, December, on Series X and PS5 PC. Base game available right now for $29.99. A, quote, complete edition is available for $59.99. But it will not include the forthcoming expansion that is out December 19th for $24.99, pre-order available now, and the third-person update launched December 5th as a free update We have covered this in the past. The big thing to talk about here is the third-person update. Aki, you dabbled with this. Bree, you have a horror story to share. And Jacob, I think you got your hands on this for the first time. What does everyone think?
As someone who's played through basically the entire game, I thought it was okay. I think first person works a little better, especially during combat. But overall, it wasn't bad. I didn't find any actual issues with it or anything. So I think it's fine, especially for people who like third person.
That it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a perspective change. There's not a lot to it. Instead of seeing your hands, you see your back. Woo.
I'm hearing even from like developers at Ubisoft are appreciating the game more in third person. What is like, does it give any substantial difference between the two?
It allows you to see more of the screen because obviously you're pulling back. So you have a wider field of view. But other than that, not really. I mean, maybe there's a difference during cutscenes, but I don't have any of those left anymore, so.
I believe all the cutscenes are still the same.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Then, like, if you want to have a wider view in every direction, then third person's definitely going to be for you, because it does provide you a wider view, but.
I would also imagine it would make things easier for people like me who suffer with motion sickness.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anything, like, now my wife can play this game. She can't do first-person shooters, but now with, like, a third-person view, she'd definitely be able to handle this. As somebody who played this for the first time, this is a really beautiful game. Like, I mean, I don't know if being in third-person helps all that much other than centering your guy, but, I mean, like, it's great to just be able to take it all in, and then get pounced on by some predator. Like, it's just a really fucking beautiful world to look at. Yeah. Like, if you didn't already get this game, I think you should check it out. The plot's seeming to be a little bit weak, but you know, it's a pretty game and it plays well enough in my opinion.
Bree, you had an issue with this, yes?
Yeah, so I installed the game and loaded it up, and all of the user and license agreements and all of this, the pregame settings came up, and I was a little confused, and I got to the main screen finally after watching the intro video again, and my save was gone.
How much time did you lose?
Not an obscene amount.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. I this is one of those games that I plan to play more of, and I was probably going to restart anyway because it's been a while, but it was still disappointing to go in to just like, all right, let me pop in, let me check out the new update. Nope.
did you exit out and then re-enter to see if maybe you just accidentally clicked out of the sync screen?
Yeah. I double-checked stuff. I don't know what happened there, but I'll send in something to them, just kind of letting them know what happened. And, yeah.
Yeah, if I lost my save, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah.
I will say, I wouldn't be worried about the settings popping up right away. I've seen that in a bunch of games, or like even in Diablo, like I'll load it up and it re-verifies all your settings, but my save data is still there. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird.
It's a real bummer. Hopefully it's just an isolated thing and it's not a widespread problem. Anything else anyone want to add on about the game?
I mean, I agree. It was a beautiful game when I played it. I'm excited to see how easy was it to switch back and forth between first and third?
Extremely. You can do it on the fly. In the middle of combat and everything, you just hold the view button and it pops you in and out. I expected it to like take a minute or something to do it, but no, like you hold it down for like a second and a half, 2 seconds, and poof, it immediately just bops you right in. You can do it in the middle of combat even. It's really
that's what
nice.
I was hoping.
I would that's not suggest doing it in the middle of combat though, because oh man, that is disorienting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let us talk price on Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Right now, the game is available for $29.99. What are your thoughts on the base game at $30?
Wait. Oh, okay. That's the base game. I mean, it's worth it, but I'd like to hear how much it is for like a complete up to this juncture in time edition.
Well, that's the problem. I don't necessarily know, because there was a complete edition that was offered for $59.99, but it did not include the From the Ashes expansion that is coming out December 19th.
Yeah, originally it was the Ultimate Edition, and then for some reason they renamed it and are now calling it the Complete Edition, but it doesn't include the new thing, and that's because the Ultimate Edition, they were only planning on just the DLC that's already out. They decided to make this, afterwards, for reasons I'm not sure of, but I'm not against.
Probably for the new game, for the new movies coming out. They previously released in the Complete Edition the Secrets of the Spires and the Skybreaker DLC. There was also some cosmetic stuff you could get. Again, that edition is called the Complete Edition. It is available for $59.99. The new expansion coming out, From the Ashes, is like an entirely new separate thing. That'll be out later on this month. Hopefully we'll be talking about it. I don't know how our schedule is going to line up. But that'll be $25 on its own. They're also going to sell the base game with just that expansion for $40.
That's weird.
But it doesn't include the season pass with the other content.
The reason why they're doing this, because I know everyone's probably thinking, what the fuck? The reason why they're doing that is because this new DLC that's about to come out isn't based on your character that you're playing throughout the base game and the other DLCs. It's actually you're playing one of the other characters that's in the game for this new DLC.
That makes sense. All right.
Yeah, that's why they have an edition that's just the DLC and the base game instead of everything.
All right. Well, base game's $30. Base game and the season pass is $60. What are your thoughts?
I think it's worth it at 60 even. I've loved the DLC.
I think I paid $129 for it, so fucking whatever. Launch price, baby. Early adopter tax. I'm an idiot. Jacob, your thoughts?
Oh yeah, definitely get it. Absolutely.
Bree, your thoughts even with the issue?
Even with the issue, I think it's a buy it. It's a great game.
You gotta love yourself some big blue alien babes. I'm just saying.
And either later this month or maybe early next month, I have no idea at this point, but hopefully we'll be talking about From the Ashes.
Yeah.
We'll find out more later this month. But next up, Thank Goodness You're Here, developed by Cole Supper, published by Panic, released December 9th, Series X and S and Xbox PC for $19.99. Thank Goodness You're Here is a comedy slapformer, which unfolds over time as the player's exploration and antics leave their mark on the strange town of Barnsworth. With each completed odd job, new areas of the town open up, stranger and stranger tasks become available, and the clock ticks towards our salesman's big meeting. The town's colorful inhabitants are brought to life with vibrant hand-drawn animation, fully voiced dialogue, and wall-to-wall double entendres. Bree, what is going on? And Thank Goodness You're Here.
Good question. So this adventure game has some very British humor in it. It's absurd, sometimes dark, full of slapstick comedy and innuendo, and it is delightfully slappy. It starts out asking you something in another language, a dialect of English only known to some specific British locale. I don't know. And then you're on your way. We're in the town of Barnsworth, and everyone here needs our help in some way or another. We're a traveling salesman sent here, and in getting to know the local population of this really weird town, we end up on all kinds of adventures or jobs. We are a small-sized individual with a yellow complexion, like a lemon head type person, and we have two buttons that really do much of anything, a jump and a slap. To interact with the environment, we have to slap everything.
That's enough, right?
Yeah, but like you have to slap like everything, sometimes multiple times to get a result.
But like even Halo could get away with jump, slap, and that's it.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Call of Duty, slap fight.
Yeah. I mean, throat punch is also an option, but
Hell yeah. All right, tell me more.
All right, so our first puzzle to solve is getting out of the boss's office, and we slap the water cooler until the top comes off so we can use it as a stepping stool to get to the window to jump out of it, instead of using the obvious closed door available to us.
Is getting out of an office similar to getting out of a shipping crate on a motorcycle?
No, it is okay. not that difficult, no. we say hello to people by slapping them. And no one seems to mind because we're so tiny and cute, I guess. I don't know. The art style is a cartoony style that's all its own, hand-drawn animation. You have varying scenes you can interact with in interesting ways. Part of the wonderful comedy is the visual details. There are goofy things going on in the background, little details like the boss having his hair taped on, the secretary is trying to play solitaire on both her desk and her computer and mixing up the two. And her post-it notes on the screen to feed not just her fish, but her son as well. there are silly things like that everywhere. There's smiling flowers and funny signs. There's one that literally just says funny sign.
Can I mention something that I saw on it from people playing the game? This isn't made for kids. One of the main jokes.
It's rated is M. That, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but it looks like it should be for kids, but it really isn't. One of the major jokes in this game is that some dude's wife is sleeping with a whole bunch of people around the town because everyone's his wife could learn a thing or two. Also, because all you do is slap things. When you're in a fish shop, you can slap a bunch of fish. One of them's an uncircumcised penis from the owner, and when you slap it, his body jerks, and he's like, oh, not that one. And if you keep slapping, it does go get erect. Just so everyone's aware, because that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. The humor is definitely in this game. This is an adventure game, but it's also full of puzzles, the kind you have to listen to or read the subtitles and be observant. Many things are very interconnected. You start off with a man who needs some kind of lubricant to get unstuck from a storm drain, and the nearby store is having no luck opening because they've lost their keys. And the locksmith is at the local bar, and he won't get to work until he's had his pint, but the beer coming out of the tap is flat, and the barkeep can't serve it, and so on. So you have to solve like a series of dilemmas to solve the first one, and then all you can do is jump and slap. So sometimes you'll solve a situation and need to backtrack to an earlier area through one of the many non-conventional methods of travel, like through pipes, and find that an earlier situation you solved gets an update and needs new help to progress. So keep exploring if you get stuck. I would say the game is about exploration and experimentation, and it's ever so much finding all the little things along the way. This game, though, is somewhat linear despite that exploration element I just mentioned, because things only open up after you've done a number of other things. You could probably play this a couple of times and not see all the fun little gags in store for you. And I'd hate to ruin too many surprises for you. Most of the achievements are listed as secret on Xbox so that you can just have fun exploring the game and try and figure out that stuff to you. Some of the animations, music, and more importantly, timing reminded me of things like Monty Python's Flying Circus skits. When you succeed at a segment of puzzle solving, you get a little cutscene, and then the world changes a little according to your actions. So now, like, the locksmith's bike is outside the butter shop, and there's a streak of butter leading across the main street in response to my lubricating the chap's arm with butter, which he also smeared on his armpit before eating the stick worth that was left after it melted its way across the street. Ew. And the segues are really unique between each area, and the game The game will leave you wondering what exactly the fuck you got yourself into and still liking it. The audio was playful and fun. The game is voice acted. Our main character doesn't have a voice, though. The rest of the town does, and it's delightful. I was slapping people, and I heard a familiar voice and looked it up to find out that I was right. It was, in fact, Matt Berry doing the voice of the gardener. So there's some recognizable voices there as well. I guess the inhabitants of Barnsworth sure are glad you're here, and I think you'll thank goodness you played this game.
Very good. It clocks in at $20. What's your verdict on Thank Goodness You're Here?
I think the price is great. I honestly couldn't stop playing it. I was playing it during the Game Awards, and I was kind of sad when I finished the main game. Buy it. Please. Laugh your ass off.
Very good. I am going to get this one. Next up, Arcade Archives 2 Bermuda Triangle, developed and published by Hamster. Released December 4th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Bermuda Triangle is a shooting game released by SNK in 1987. I was six. Pilot the time-space battleship... Oh, God. Battle this time-space battleship Zig and face off against mysterious enemies seeking to invade human history. From the present to the past, the battlefield shifts with the changing ages. Power up your warship and gain the strength to survive any era. Jacob, what is going on in Bermuda Triangle?
So Bermuda Triangle is a vertical shmup, and you are in this... like spacecraft thing, that as you're blasting away your enemies, you're collecting all of these, it's stuff, bits that are flying around. Anyways, eventually you can like level up like, your weapons, and you can actually dictate how you have your like little bots flying around you. Like they're supposed to protect you and fire extra missiles and lasers and stuff like that. Like, I thought that was kind of interesting, but the big thing that this thing tries to do is that it's just like, whoops, sometimes we go backwards. Like, oh, how are you going to face them now? And then it's just like, okay, I mean, this game already moves kind of slow, and now it's just going to move slowly the other direction, and this is going to be I don't know. If it moved faster, I think it could have been more interesting, but its gimmick doesn't do enough for me to be like, yeah, you have to buy it. Like, if you're a shmup, if you're a shmup connoisseur, enthusiast, then, I mean, yeah, buy it. But, you know, if you're sitting on the fence that, like, you like getting the Arcade Archives titles, but, you know, maybe not immediately when they get out, then this is one I think you can wait for a sale for.
I'm actually surprised. I thought you have enjoyed this one a little bit more. I remember this one.
I thought it was okay.
NES.
But I mean, oh, you played that on NES? How'd it play?
Wasn't the greatest. But all right. Well, this one clocks in at $10. What are your thoughts?
As I said, if you're a shmup enthusiast, or like you feel like you need to buy every Arcade Archives title when they come out, then yeah, go ahead and get it. Otherwise, I'd say wait for a sale. Like, it's not a bad title. It's just, it's not like a great, you know, it's as the youths would say, mid.
So it's not based?
It is not based, as the children say.
Still don't get how that means anything. Next game, Milano's Odd Job Collection, developed by Marvelous, published by Exceed Marvelous USA. Released December 9th, Xbox One, Series, and PC, Switch, PS4, PS5, and normal PC for $14.99. School's out, but 11-year-old Milano's mom needs to go to the hospital. Milano is sent to spend the summer with her uncle. One small problem, her uncle's on vacation. Left on her own, Milano decides to make the most of her situation by taking up a variety of part-time jobs in town. Over the next 40 days, Milano goes all in, delivering pizzas, nursing sick patients, milking flying cat... What?
We'll get to that.
and more to make this summer unforgettable. And maybe she can spruce up her uncle's place and have some fun while she's at it. Bree, what is Milano's Odd Job Collection?
So this is a historic game brought to modern audiences for the first time in 26 years, and its first time in English. The original 1999 PS1 game is called Milano no Arbiet in Japan. While not the first ever chore core game, this certainly brings us back. Milano is an 11-year-old girl with purple hair who has to fend for herself over the summer by way of part-time jobs. Mom's in the hospital, dad works all the time, so she's supposed to be on holiday with her uncle, who just up and left on his own vacation and left us with full run of the house and all of its responsibilities. The game is kind of a simulation management game, and kind of not. You have mini games to play for your jobs. We have 40 days of summer to earn money by day and relax at night, or do chores, and we can take our earned money to decorate the house, or learn recipes and other fun stuff. We can buy a TV. Our uncle lives in Zucchini Town, where there are 8 businesses willing to exploit or hire an 11-year-old girl. You build up Milano's stats as you go, and that's the base for what kind of jobs you can take. So you need to have a certain amount of skill or energy, and then you have to have an opening, because not all buildings are open all the time. Some places are open at very specific or limited times for you to take jobs from them. They're even affected by the weather, which can be affected by other stuff, like you can wish for good weather. Our 3 stats, you have mood, increases your shift length. Energy increases your job variety. Skill increases the max difficulty level. And you might even need to take a day off once in a while to go play in the park to raise your mood. A lot of what you can do in the game is play mini games, and the games have difficulty levels to them. There are jobs you can take, one each day. There's a dishwashing game where you can clean dishes at a restaurant and duck when ladles are thrown your way. You can play a match 3 type game where you bake cakes when you're working in the bakery. You can work at the ranch, milking cow-like creatures in the sky called Mugens, where you have to jump in the air to catch them by the udders, pull them down, and then rapidly tap X and B to milk while dodging chickens being chased by a raptor.
Okay.
This was actually the first game I was good at. you deliver pizzas, you can pick fruit at an orchard, work at the hospital, there's a music hall, which I didn't actually get around to doing anything in. And then you get to remember orders at the burger joint and collect all the ingredients and then hand them out to the customers. Those are your jobs. Your pay is based on how fast and how good you do at your task. I was pretty terrible at making money at first. If you don't do well, you get nothing for your work, which sucks. Besides the daytime jobs, you have nighttime chores and activities. You can cook, drink tea, do laundry, vacuum the house, feed the orange cat, and don't forget to sleep at the end of the day. There's a running clock to let you know what time it is, but it only changes like at the intervals. It doesn't like wind down and screw you over. Chores are more like video animations that you can do to take care of things. They're skippable too. You can do 2 things at the end of the night, because then you have to take a bath and head to bed. You get to make wishes, read books, go shopping. There's a bunch of things you can do at the house. Because I wanted to try all the things, I often went to bed without eating. Doing certain chores can raise your mood or raise your energy if you eat. As I mentioned earlier, you can spend your money to buy items from the shopping catalog to decorate the house. And all orders arrive the next day. Although that was a little confusing to me at first, and then I figured it out. They've added achievements and trophies to this for fun things like feeding the cat so many times. And there are some RNG ones for getting like a wrong number or finding stuff in the trash. So that was a fun addition, like having the achievements to do certain things in the game. For as simple a game as this is, there's a fair amount of nuance to it. And it's cute. Milano has different outfits and hairstyles for the different job. The cat walks around the kitchen when you feed him and will stay for activities that you do afterwards. And he sleeps. And he'll also just meow at you as he paces the living room floor. You can actually decorate the house how you want it, which kind of feels like high tech for a 26-year-old game. It's not like super advanced, but you can pick things up and box them and, you know, put them back in your inventory, and you can move things around and decorate your living room and your porch. Graphically, I would say this holds up pretty well, or at least the upscale treatment was done well. I did notice some fuzzy pixels making this a little messy at times during the original video presentations, but I'm also sitting right up on my screen. It's a bright and colorful anime-style game. This is also voice-acted and done wonderfully. Getting to hear Milano in English is great. I especially liked the phone calls. The music is upbeat and fun. I did notice when coming back from the new save state and settings menu that the audio got garbled a bit for a second. Not a big deal, just mentioning. I would also say the controls work great, adapting them to a modern controller. A lot of mini games use the D-pad and regular buttons for controls. Some features of the collection include save states, rewind features, CRT settings, a gallery of concept art and comics. I had a fun time with this one. I was a little disappointed I couldn't figure out how to balance things earlier in the game to get a more variety of my mini games, but I had fun trying to figure it out.
Very cool. I am crazy, crazy interested in this one because of just how old and odd it is.
Yeah.
It clocks in at 15. What are your thoughts?
I think the price is good for a cool retro game reborn. Obviously, like, I don't have the original to compare it to since it's just now released outside of Japan. It's a cute pixel chorecore game and it's charming. The novelty of it wore off a little bit, like about halfway through the month vacation, and I found myself wanting to come back to it later rather than it being the sort of game you play for hours on end, but I can give this a buy it.
Very good. This one was so, like, niche. Chris didn't know anything about it.
Oh, yeah. I had to look up some of the history of it, so, yeah.
He had no idea what this thing was. Oh, man. All right. Next up, Tiny Bunny, developed by Saikono and Socar, published by Serenity Forge, released December 5th on Steam, $10.99. Tiny Bunny is a horror visual novel with branching plot based on the short story of the same name by Dmitri Mortis. Takes place in a quiet, unremarkable village lost among the Siberian forest. Children start to go missing, and the protagonist, a sixth grader who'd recently moved there with his family, is immediately forced to witness and participate in a chain of unsettling events. Aki, what is Tiny Bunny?
Okay, Tiny Bunny, you play as Anton, and he stated he's a child. This is a visual novel, an adventure one, so you get lots of choices. And everything's kind of fucked. Which, if you know the general feeling of devs from these areas, or the general feeling of games based in these areas, that doesn't really shock you that everything's just kind of fucked. So, yeah, some kids have gone missing, and you're kind of a little bit what we might call, what's a kind way of calling someone batshit insane? Mentally unwell. Yes, we'll go with that. Kid's a little mentally unwell. He sees things that possibly may or may not exist. You never know. And he has a little sister who is also, you know, she's probably like four or something. So she's seeing a whole bunch of stuff, too. Anything that goes bump in the night is some monster to her, which doesn't help what I believe the character probably has schizophrenia. Doesn't really help him at all. And his parents are not exactly kind and loving. They're both extremely stressed and miserable, and they kind of have a tendency to take it out on Anton, which makes things even worse, sadly. So he sees a kid get kidnapped by monsters. Whether these monsters are real or not, kid's crazy. You never know. You never really know what is and is not real in this game. That's kind of the point, and it's great. There are 5 chapters to this. Every chapter is an hour or two long. And you are expected to play through this probably a couple times because there are a bunch of mutually exclusive options that lead to achievements. And they continue from that chapter into other chapters, giving you four mutually exclusive achievements.
So, cry more.
I will. Boo hoo hoo. See, I
there's 100 achievements in the game. Take your time and enjoy it.
It's going to take you a long motherfucking time, too. It's really kind of graphic. So I guess I should prepare y'all for that. Like, it doesn't show necessarily everything, but like, for instance, in the opening chapter, within like the first 20 minutes or so, you can grab the missing kid's mitten, and Anton sees it as filled and leaking blood and stuff, and you're like, oh, there's a hand in this, and it's bloody and it's dripping everywhere, and he runs home, and his mom, you know, scolds him because he wasn't supposed to go out, and he's like, oh yeah, I found this is from the missing kid, he's hurt, see? And she immediately is worried about, you know, him scaring the daughter with his imagination. And he looks down, and suddenly now it's not covered in blood or anything. Now it's just soaked with water. That is a lot of what you're seeing in this game, is like he sees one thing and then he looks back at it and it's not that anymore. It's something more benign. And his parents keep giving him medication to help him deal with it. I think they're antipsychotics. So fun. It does talk about some graphic things, like someone gets injured in it and they talk.
You keep saying fun, yet this game seems like the opposite of fun. It seems distressing.
It might be distressing to you. It's very fun to me.
Fucking fruit fly buzzing around here. I'm sorry.
Like, for instance, later on, someone kind of gets partially chewed up in a meat grinder, and it mentions how their foot is disfigured, like a toe is dangling by a bit of skin and the other toe is completely gone, and so on and so forth. You don't actually see it, but it does mention this kind of stuff, so it can be somewhat gruesome. So if you don't like stuff like that, maybe not necessarily a game for you, because that happens a lot. But you do see a lot of blood, just not necessarily any gore that go with it. And it's five chapters long. I don't want to give it away because, again, it's like anywhere between like 8 hours and 13 hours, depending on how much time you spend in it, of a game. And it's all very narrative, so I don't want to give too much away.
That is fair. It is $11. What do you think?
I'm very for it. $11 is cheap for something this well made, I think. As long as you can handle, you know, the fact that this is espresso depresso and very violent. As long as you can deal with that, this is great.
Jazzy. Next up, Night Swarm, developed by FUBU Games. Hey, remember FUBU? Big-ass jeans.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not that old, I don't think. I
wonder if they're related.
How do they spell it?
FUBU.
Let's find out.
Anyway, Night Swarm, developed by FUBU Games, published by Naisu, released December 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Night Swarm is a vampire-themed roguelite RPG bullet hell where you play as a fearsome young vampire lord rising to power. Gather loyal allies, unleash devastating abilities, and fight back against the relentless werewolf hordes that threaten to consume the night. Jacob, what's Night Swarm?
So Night Swarm, first off, is like, it looks nice, but it also plays pretty well too. So think of it kind of like a short version of Vampire Hunters, except you're actually a vampire Vampire Survivors, except you're actually a vampire in this, and you're trying to kill a bunch of werewolves and other spoopy things. The game has you get resurrected, and you're pretty much walked through a very short tutorial, and In this thing, you find out, like, you know, how to do attacks, and, you know, as you level up and collect, you know, more experience and gold, and also, like, sometimes you'll be looking for, like, various supplies or items that somebody needs. And you keep going through all these, like, little mini maps as you lead up to a boss character that you have to battle. And, but at the same time, like, visually and, you know, audibly, I guess that would be the word. It looks like you're playing with like little miniatures and like moving them across the board, like, you know, one square at a time. It's really fun. And yeah, if like you're a big fan of like the Survivors type scheme, you know, this is something to definitely check out. Like, it does enough different from the formula that it really stands out, and I really like the visual aspect of it.
That's a gorgeous looking game.
It is, and I really like how like there's branching stuff. Like, you have to like add more people to your castle, and you can get more like helpers. Like, I've got this like big titty goth girl who does like she does like some occasional healing. But
what?
Yeah,
I was waiting for
exactly.
That.
Like, she does healing and attacks, and so, like, I bring her around, like, all the time, and then, like, you can get other stuff, like, other people, as well, and, yeah, it's just really fun to go on, like, little mini quests and kill tons of werewolves.
All right. $10 if you buy it in the next...
Are you serious? Wow.
See, if you listen to the beginning, you would know that's the price.
If I listened.
Yeah, that's a big
that's if a I big listened. Yeah.
It
that's,
is $9.99 if you buy it in the next 2 weeks. It is $7.99. $10. What's your thoughts on this one?
Absolutely.
Anything else?
I mean, buy it. I mean, if you can get it on discount, then go for it. But I mean, like, you know, if you have to wait a week, still a good price.
Very good. And, looks like Nisu has some bundles available if you want to get Night Swarm and Rogue Loops. It is $14.99, and if you want to buy a big-ass bundle of Night Swarm, Rogue Loops, Volipals, Layla, and Anomaly Agent, that'll run you $30. $6 a game, not bad. Next up, She's Leaving, developed and published by Blue Hat Studio. Released December 2nd, Steam 9th on Series X and S and PS5 for $9.99. Focused on the real-life practices of forensic analysts, She's Leaving allows the player to understand and uncover the truth behind the evidence they find. Throughout She's Leaving, you begin to discover that there's always been a target on your back. Equipped with only a taser, the choice is up to you. Are you going to run and hide, or are you going to zap some balls? Aki, tell us about it.
Okay, in this game called She's Leaving, you play as a guy.
Hold up. In the game's description, does it actually end with, or are you going to tase some balls?
No, it says, or stand and fight.
Oh.
But you can tase someone in the balls.
Yeah, you want to tase
balls. Well, I mean, that like, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed that it doesn't say that.
I know. I do what I can to improve the write-ups.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got a future in this. You know how to, like, you should become, like, a PR statement editor. Like, you know how to punch it up.
No, I'm good.
Or tase it in the ball. I suppose.
Hockey, what She's Leaving?
Okay, in this game called She's Leaving, you're playing as a dude who is a police officer who has come to this area because of crimes committed in this household. You're going there to investigate. And you have to figure out how to open various rooms, get into various locked areas to find more codes or keys or what have you. All while there's some big giant douche canoe running around trying to kill you if he can get his hands on you.
Can I interrupt for a second? What's the style of this game? Is this like a third person perspective? Is it a visual novel? Like, what are we?
This is all first person. It is a
okay. First person survival horror.
Yeah, kinda.
Okay.
I more classify it as a puzzle game more than survival horror, because it's not that hard to survive it.
but that's because you're much faster than this giant oaf. Though his constant stalking around.
That's not nice to say about me.
Well, you know, you'll get over it. It's fine.
I will.
However, he is kind of anxiety-inducing because he likes to walk around areas where you are, even though he shouldn't know that's where you are. But hey, gaming code. Woohoo! So yeah, you're going around finding damage on walls and finding bloody prints of various kinds on them and taking pictures of them and classifying them as the proper type. And there's three different ones. One is like an actual print, like someone left a handprint. One where something was pressed against it and blood started flowing down, and another is called cast off, because that's the only one I can remember the name of, which is like when you flick a knife that has blood on it, it casts it off and splatters it. So you're taking pictures of damaged parts of walls that have one of these types of blood styles on it, and you have to figure out what style it is. If you're correct, you get to take a picture of it. If you fail, you are slowed down, and I think your stamina bar is permanently reduced as well. Thankfully, there's only the three types of print, and every time you go to one, after you set up your tripod to take a picture, if you succeed, it actually brings up the list of the three different types, so you can reread them if you're like, oh shit, I don't remember what these are. Thankfully, and they're not very hard, because one's literally a print of like a person's hand, one has stuff where blood is running down it, and the other one isn't either of those two. It's very simple, thank God. But the reason why it might end up becoming hard is because a lot of areas where you can take these pictures are among the pathway of where the douche canoe likes to walk. And if he sees you, he starts running after you. And then you have to run away and hide from him and hope that he doesn't spot you and kill you instantaneously. You can also stand and fight, as the game says. You do have a taser that you can find some ammo for throughout the building, because you're in a big-ass mansion. And the problem with that is there's limited amounts, and that taser is also used to basically blow open, to overcharge fuse boxes to blow open doors, more or less, that are otherwise locked and you can't get past. So if you're using your tasers on this guy, you're going to end up with a lot of places you can't get through, which might end up blocking you out of being able to beat the game. So I would like it if they occasionally you would run through areas and find new ammo there or something, just to make sure people can actually beat the game, because you do actually have to blow a number of these fuses, and if you don't have the ammo anymore, well, now you're fucked and you have to restart, and that's not cool. The game can be beaten in under an hour if you know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm already on like hour four, and all I've learned is I kind of suck ass.
Nice.
So, yeah, you find reports from other police officers who have gone here.
That? We've known that for years.
Yeah.
Damn, motherfuckers, y'all should let me know. Shit.
No. We won't tell
you. Of course you didn't, jackasses. Other officers have come here and disappeared, and you can find some of their notes about crime scenes and so on and so forth. You find notes written from people who lived here, because this was a woman's mansion at one point, and you're basically investigating the fact that she went missing, supposedly was murdered, is the belief. And you can find notes from like different people that work there, butlers and so on and so forth. And yeah, it's a sizable building, and it's hard to get around because basically almost every door is locked, and you have to find the right key to open the bitch. And it gets really tense because the enemy can open doors that you can't open.
How many balls did you zap?
I only did it once, and it knocked his ass flat for like 10 or so seconds, which is more than enough time for me to get from one side of the map to the other and way the fuck away from this dickhead.
Sweet.
There is also a save room that you can enter that he can't enter, that allows you to, obviously, as I stated, fucking save. But that's also, you know, if he's chasing you, you can just run into there and he'll eventually just fuck off somewhere else. So
Jacob, you got to make these jokes in the show, man. Let's chat.
If I was unmuted the whole time, then I would, but like I try not to because I don't want to interrupt accidentally.
Oh, you can always interrupt me. I don't give a shit.
Come on, Jacob, say the joke. All the time. Say the joke.
Find the keyhole because she can be a bitch. Isn't that a Taylor Swift song?
Probably. And it's probably amazing. Like all of her other songs.
Featuring Lana Del Rey. She's leaving. It's $10. What do you think of it?
I think this is totally worth it, especially if you like this style of game. If you don't like this style of game, I don't think this is going to change it for you because it's just as panic-inducing as basically all the rest of them. But I really liked it. I think it's totally worth picking up.
Cool beans. Next up, Sacrifice for Sale, developed by Daniel Klotch, published by Sometimes You, released December 5th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC, $9.99 each. Sometimes You game, so if you buy the old gen, you get the new game, new gen, half off, you know, yeah. Experience interaction in a new and engaging way. Choose to respond to...
again?
Yeah. Does that make you happy?
I mean, it sounds like how I figure you'd give BJs.
Experience interaction in a new and engaging way. Choose to respond to what the characters have to say directly. Deal with your own hostage situation. Negotiate for more than just your freedom. Learn about the people who hold you captive. Deconstruct the cult. Manipulate them. All to not end up as their next sacrifice. Jacob, what is Sacrifice for Sale?
Sacrifice for Sale is it's an interesting visual novel. You play as this vacuum salesman, door to door guy, and you decide that you're going to go to this one house. They have a birdhouse. Looks like a nice little place. And inside you get to meet these two women who are, not necessarily eldritch horrors, but they are not of this dimension, kind of stuff. And one of them is this pink woman who is kind of like sewn up like a, you know, like one of those like horror movie dolls kind of thing. And the other one is this woman who essentially looks like an Egyptian cat goddess, human body, cat head. And they have very different personalities, and you have to figure out how you want to talk to them. And this isn't just necessarily like branching, you know, like, oh, you could either say, you know, this thing or this thing, where it's only like two real decisions. Sometimes you could, actually all the time, you could say nothing, which sometimes that's the right thing to do in this, conversation game. And other things, you can actually get extra dialogue options, because sometimes there's words that you could focus on, and then you can decide which thing that you want to say in response to that. Oh. So like, let's say that, you know, she says like, I just ate an apple. Like you could focus on the word eight, and you might be able to ask like a question like, oh, like, is there any left for me? Or like you might be able to focus on the word apple, and then you could ask like, what kind of apple was it? Like, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's really interesting how they do it. And like, of course, like, you know, the ladies are cute. And yeah, it's just like a fun story that you get to navigate. There's a bunch of different endings to it. I had a lot of fun with this.
Plus unique endings.
Okay. Yeah.
30,000 words and over 500 choices in the game.
Choices,
like choosing what to do.
Like you said, choices. Like, I don't know, like some weird Boston accent.
You're weird.
Yeah.
What else do you have to say about Sacrifice for Sale?
I recommend it. I think it's a lot of fun. And it's like, you know, I know sometimes you releases a lot of titles that are like under $10. This one's a lot of fun. I'd recommend it.
Very good. Again, this one has 15 over 15 endings. Takes about 30 minutes for a playthrough, so it shouldn't be too bad replay and have fun.
I mean, it is possible to fuck up real early, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
But, 2 minute playthrough. How quick did you die?
Well, there are some endings where you don't die, but, like, I had a death one... I want to say about 20 minutes in, but it, like the game really wants you to like get into it. And so, I really enjoy like all the different, you know, just like the ways that the conversation's expanded from how it like a visual novel usually plays out. Gotcha. I mean, I guess really like in all reality, it's really just like, you know, it's a visual novel with a different type of GUI, but,
you're a GUI.
Yeah.
$10 official verdict.
Yes.
Cool beans. Next up, Malachite Temple of the Sun, developed by Boomzap, published by Ocean Media. Released December 3rd, Xbox One, Series X and S, $9.99. Embark on a journey through the depths of a lost ancient jungle temple. Start your way through the depths of a forgotten temple, match colorful balls, unlock power-ups, and construct your own temple as you progress. Choose between adventure and endless modes, immersing yourself in classic Match 3 gameplay. Shout out to Ocean Media, who not only hooked us up with this, but four other games for our listeners to enter for a shot to win. That is right. Ocean Media gave us five packs of games. Covered two last week, two this week. We'll have one next week. Malachite Temple of the Sun. Jacob, Bree, Aki, I think everybody covered this one and the next one. Who wants to start with Malachite Temple of the Sun?
I can start. This game is Zuma.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't this just Zuma?
Yeah. If you don't know what that is, it's a type of match three game where you have like a bunch of colored balls advancing on a winding track, and you have to shoot the balls to make three or more of a kind to get rid of them. If you choose your balls correctly, you can get bonus breaks as like the line of balls will snap closed once you delete some balls. I know. It is. It's totally about the balls. You can also collect bonus balls that will do special things like bomb an area or make a speedy shot. You have to catch them on your little shooter platform to gain access to them, though. And the goal is to get rid of the balls before they reach the end of the track or it's game over. Part of the challenge, I would say, lies in that the winding track is getting closer and closer to you, making you need to act faster or get breaks through the gaps that you made with some quick timing. You have two balls at any given time you can switch between using the B button, but it's pretty random until you get toward the end of your trail and you have one color left, and then it'll usually only give you that color. In adventure mode, you have several waves of balls to break, eventually ending the level. You can also play this in endless mode. Yes, breaking balls.
Yeah, you have balls to break.
Yeah. Which is, the endless mode is all about a high score. And there are also five difficulty modes from like Zen to challenging. Play however you want. I will say that once you select a difficulty, I could not figure out how to change it. So that was weird.
Oh, well, thank God. Yeah. I selected Zen early on.
Yeah, I don't know what I selected because I accidentally hit the button too fast and then I couldn't figure out how to change that or what I chose.
Did you have to delete your save?
No, I don't know. I just kept playing and it was fine. The art was pleasant. The backgrounds had some moving plants, particles, flowing waterfalls, stuff like that. I had it made for a good visual presentation. I think there's like 45 levels in the main game and some in the bonus chapters with levels as well. And the music was good adventure music.
fit the big jungle question. I don't know if it was addressed. Where you shoot the balls, is it from somewhere in the middle that you spin around, or is it the bottom where you shoot up?
Most of the time it's the bottom, but like each level is a little different. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
I did not
expect to play
through all the levels. Yeah.
Jacob, your thoughts?
I don't Damn it. You missed my dirty joke.
I did.
Anyway, yeah, it's Zuma. I thought it was all right. I don't know, like, what else I'm supposed to, like, it was fine.
I mean, we've seen some bad Zuma clones on the Xbox store lately.
We have?
This wasn't bad.
Yes, we have.
I didn't think it was bad. It was just...
No, I'm average. Not saying this one. I'm saying other ones on the store have been not great lately. We've seen a couple of Zumbas or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to name names, but...
Yeah, I saw that too.
Wait, what?
Nothing. This one clocks in at $10. What are your thoughts on Malachite, Temple of the Sun?
I could recommend it at that price.
Yeah, I could too. I don't have a problem with it.
Aki, did you have any thoughts on Malachite?
Sadly, no. I did not have time to fiddle with the ocean games this week.
Ah, gotcha.
Sorry.
All right, next up, Octocurse. Developed by Ajvar Studio, also published by Ocean Media. Released December 3rd, Xbox One, Series X and S. This one's $6.99. A pirate turned octopus. Can you break the curse? Octocurse is an action platformer following the story of a pirate captain who has been turned into an octopus by an evil spirit. The little octopus embarks on a quest to save the rest of his crew and reverse the curse. Save your friends and meet new ones along the way. What does everyone think of Octocurse?
I really liked this game, actually.
Do tell.
Yeah, so it's an ocean-themed action platformer. There's a cute motion comic intro story about the pirates going after the treasure and getting cursed by the local deity into being an octopus. It was way more than I was expecting. The story kind of continues in the background of the levels as you progress. So, like, in the first level, you can see the gods sink your ship and destroy the lighthouse, and then there's more comics every so many levels, and the story was really cute. While we're running around, we need to dodge or spin attack enemies like crabs, and, of course, collect gold and diamonds to complete the chapter and open the door to the next level. Doing well in level will guarantee you some crowns, like stars. It's like three-starring a level, but it's crowns. And the main goal in the story is to save our crew, who have also been cursed, and then lift the curse and escape the island. There are obstacles like stomping speared logs, flame traps, saws, and so on. You can also buy hats for your character to wear with your gold tokens you've acquired. There are 5 chapters with multiple levels each, equaling out over 100 levels. Jeez. Once you unlock all the levels of a chapter with the 3 crowns, you know, like 3 starting level, you get a totem that unlocks hard mode for that chapter. Each chapter is a different biome, like the beach, the Thunderdome, and the frozen hills. It's actually called Thunderdome. And there are additional bonus levels you can unlock that'll give you some sweet coins for hats. The art is cute and cartoony, brightly colored with lots of movement. The music is like happy island music. One bad thing about the game, the user interface was clearly built for mouse and uses a cursor to move around. You can't just press the OK button. You need to like move your cursor to it first. Also, to shop for hats and select levels, you need to hold the button and scroll with your cursor. Like, I thought there was a lot less in this game until I figured that out. That said, like, I really like this game. I had a lot of fun with it.
Very nice. Jacob, what are your thoughts on Octocurse?
What I got to play, I enjoyed. I mean, it's a simple platformer with, you know, stuff to unlock. I didn't get nearly as far as Bree did, but I liked it enough. Like, I thought it was fun.
All right, $6.99. It is. It seems like a pretty low price for a lot of content. What do you think of this for $7?
I think this price is great, and I can give this a buy it for sure.
I can too. It's solid.
All right. Well, for the people who can't afford it, should we draw a winner?
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, do a drug for the poors.
Jacob, we are the poors.
I suddenly had a very serious and strong urge to punch him in the face.
All right, let's draw ourselves a winner for an Ocean Media 5-pack of games. Not only are you
cake.
Not only are you getting Malachite and Octocurse, you are getting a big trip to Europe, Finding America, and Resetna.
Wait, they're winning a trip to Europe?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Congrats Joe, to Horror Acolyte who entered for OG Mr. Torrance. So nice. GG to Mr. Torrance. You were getting yourself a 5-pack of games thanks to the fine folks at Ocean Media. Thank you, Ocean.
I think we just promised a trip to Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
that's
we're
me going. Next game, Don't Scream Together, developed and published by Digital Cyber Cherries, released December 3rd on Steam for $7.99. Don't Scream Together is an online co-op jump scare horror simulator where you and your friends walk through a pitch black forest with camcorders in 93. Oh God, those have got to be heavy. Use proximity chat and escape the forest, but if anyone screams or speaks too loudly, or sneezes, or coughs, or farts, the game restarts and the screamer returns as the hunter. Or the screamer returns as the hunter. Either one, you get the pick. Bree and Aki, both of you play Don't Scream Together. Aki, how about you start us off? What is going on in this one?
Okay, so you start this, and you can play it either single player or co-op, and there's two different forms of co-op. Either both of you escape together, or when one of you dies, they become a bad guy that tries to fuck with the other person to make them scream. And basically what this is you're trying to escape the forest. So you're running around with a video camera, trying to find a whole bunch of sigils that are all over the map. Who knows where all of them are, because we never found them all. And whilst you're doing that, jump scares happen pretty regularly. Some of them are location specific. Some of them just happen, period, because you're there. For instance, sometimes a monster will appear behind you and you can start hearing it breathe. And when you turn to look for your companion, suddenly something's right there. And in order to try and make you scream, great like that. And yeah, whilst you're going through this area, some of them, as I said, are location specific. So like we found a swamp and an alligator would jump out of areas there and run at you and gnash its teeth, but it doesn't actually hurt you unless it accidentally knocks you off the pier and into the water where you drown, because apparently you're too stupid to have learned how to swim. And yeah, that's basically the gist of it. You have a certain amount of time, because you have like one 12-hour period or something like that in order to try and find everything and escape. If you don't find everything, the helicopter that you're in goes down because the forest won't let you escape, and it starts a new day where you're placed right back at the same starting point, and you can go look for new stuff.
Sometimes a different starting point, but yeah.
Yeah, occasionally. Everything that you found stays counted as found. So thankfully you don't have to keep fucking around with that. So everything, all the sigils you found, they're there. All the locations you found, they're there. It's all proper. So you can eventually find all the stuff and get out, and you don't have to do it in like a single run. Thank God. Cause this area is a massive, massive fucking play area. And Bree and I played it for a couple hours, and I don't think we even saw the entire map.
No.
That's just how obscenely large it is. And yeah, that's the gist of the game. Bree, do you want to start talking about any positives you had with the game? Let's start there.
I mean,
instead of the negatives.
I will say the atmosphere was good and spooky. You had several locations to find that followed like standard horror tropes, like graveyards and sanatoriums. Like it was good and creepy. What else did we find? Like a crash plane, a door in the middle of the woods
that teleported us to other. Yeah,
yeah.
And
I
believe there was also a shipyard where the ships were on fire.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think was what that place was.
There were some good accessibility features like arachnophobia mode and motion sickness stuff, which is helpful because you've got that like I'm looking through a video game or a video camera kind of thing going on with like the static lines every now and again that'll pop up on your screen,
which I hated.
And it's I think it was it first person? I don't even remember now.
Yes, it's first person.
Okay. One thing I would say that was good, you can manually set the threshold on your mic so you can talk at a normal volume. They even warn you in the features of the Steam page that loud noises like burps will get you killed. So we just, you know, set it so that we could talk at normal volume, which, like, as a streamer, I would think whispering would be like a really weird thing to do constantly. And I feel like this game is really...
What's up, chat?
So you can manually play with that a little bit.
There is one thing to be aware of if you're going to do that. You do have to make enough noise to set it off in order to actually start the game. So if you set it so high,
scream.
Yeah. So like people like me, you're not setting it so high that you can talk normally because I can't. I physically am incapable of screaming, so...
Yeah. Yeah, you do have to, quote, scream to start the game. You have to have a mic hooked up or this game doesn't work. But this is the multiplayer version, up to four players, I guess, of the original Don't Scream game, which I think I have seen people stream. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, the other thing to mention is you have to pick up batteries for your camera as you go. Thankfully, they glow blue in the dark and are kind of easy to find everywhere. They're also shared with your fellow players in the way that if one person picks one up, it'll still be there for the other players.
That's good.
Yeah.
When I picked it up, it just added battery to both of our cameras.
No, I still had to go pick it up for myself. But like you picking it up didn't remove my ability to pick it up as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is one problem with the accessibility feature that ties directly to that.
I was just about to talk about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I set it to where I wasn't supposed to have a battery that ran dead, and I still had to pick up batteries constantly.
Yeah, the accessibility setting made it sound like you would like not have to pick up batteries, and that didn't work for either of us. So our camera batteries drained anyway. Yeah, so that was weird. I don't know if that was just a misunderstanding on how it was written, or if the accessibility setting wasn't working properly. I did have one issue with the game. I don't know, Aki, if you want to talk about other bad stuff first, or if you want me to go ahead with mine.
I'll go ahead because they deserve to hate me more. The thing about this game is as I said, we played for a few hours and we're not sure if we're pretty sure we didn't see the whole map.
Yeah,
that's kind of a problem in a game like this because the jump scares, when you're spending hours in a game, the jump scares, they get fucking boring real quick. And that's kind of the problem with the game. I like the concept behind the game. It was great. The problem was the follow through. It's too big of a map. It ends up being the problem because we sat for one day basically walking around in a sanatorium trying to find multiple of these glyphs that you have to find. We found one, and apparently there weren't any others in there. And we spent an entire in-game day doing that, which is quite a bit of time, I might add, only to find that there wasn't another sigil in there. And it's that just kind of ruins the flow of the game. I think they need to shrink the map significantly, maybe make it more of a linear style type game, because they have a good idea. They're really good with atmosphere and stuff like that. Just it's too big, and therefore there's too much time that you spend basically with your thumb up your ass doing nothing. So that's like a major problem for me.
I had issues with performance. Like I mentioned, the game is like grainy found footage type stuff, and your first person view, I wrote in my notes first person view, and then I totally just forgot, through the video camera. But when I got some jump scares, it slowed things down considerably. I checked my settings and I was on recommended settings for my computer. I put it on low resolution. I had less problems, but I still had some problems with stuttering. Now, I'm running a 1650 graphics card, which is not the latest greatest, but the rest of my stats are great. I'm running like Ryzen 7 and, you know, 32 gigs of RAM. So there's no problem there. It was a little disappointing. I was not expecting it to, you know, eat up that on my computer. But ultimately, going back to what Aki said, I'm not easily jump scared. So this was kind of boring. I feel like the atmosphere was good, but for me, like, the performance issues and the exploration just wasn't enough to keep my interest.
I see one of the reviews said they had the same jump scare 5 times in a row.
Yeah, I saw the same one multiple times as well. Like, there's totally an audience for this game. Also, the JPEG of the
spider was scarier than any jump scares.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to piggyback off of what Bree was just saying real quick.
Do it quick.
She doesn't get jump scared easily. I do, and I got jump scared 1 time.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it seems like the scariest part of this is the fact that it's out, unfortunately. Hopefully they could get this fixed up and in better shape. But for $8 right now, what do you two think of Don't Scream Together?
Bree, you go first.
Yeah, like, I could see that there's totally an audience for this, like, being fun for people streaming together. I'm just not the right audience for it. And if you like jump scares, I mean, I could give it a try at best. I didn't have a great time with it. It worked as intended, but not for me, jump scare wise.
Aki?
For me, it's going to end up being a pass. I'm easy to jump scare, and it got me 1 time out of the many, many times it tried, and it's just so wide open, it gets really boring really quick, so I'm going to have to pass on this one, sadly.
Alrighty. Next up, Teeny Tiny Trains, developed by Short Circuit Studios, published by Silesia Games, released December 10th, Xbox One, Series X and S. 18th, it'll hit the Switch for $6.99. Remember turning the living room into your own railway kingdom? No, because I couldn't afford trains as a kid. Experience a bit of that magic with Teeny Tiny Trains. Build tracks, flip switches, and dodge playful obstacles to guide your trains home. Aki, Bree, both of you played this. Tell me about it. Aki, start us off.
Okay. In this, you are building tiny toy train tracks, basically.
Are they teeny tiny trains?
Yes, they are. That's why you have teeny tiny train tracks, even. And you get a whole bunch of different types that you can lay down. Some of them end up with switches that when a train passes it, it switches it to another track. So you have to keep that in mind. Otherwise, you're trying to get the trains to the stations. It starts off with different colored stations for different colored trains. Then the trains start going to the same stations, and they require to go in a specific order. The problem is the trains come out of their stops at the same time, so you have to find a way to basically make one of them circle around so the other can get in there first. It gets surprisingly difficult, actually. I was in chapter one, and I couldn't even finish that whole chapter. Thankfully, it opened chapter two before I even got halfway through chapter one. But fuck, some of them levels are hard as hell.
I was watching
you play this on Twitch earlier. What were you doing in the game? Did you have fun with it?
I had fun with it. So a couple of things I would note. You have two ways to lay track. There's a way where you can use tiles that you can select between, and you can place the tiles, or you can draw with a pencil where you want the tracks to go. And I feel like some people are going to like one way and some people are going to like the other. I used a combination of both, but I ultimately leaned more towards the drawing side of things. And
see, I was the opposite.
Yeah. So, and same with my friend Martin. He preferred the tiles. I did a little bit of both, but I like the drawing, and I actually learned to draw better using some of the tutorial levels. I felt like they did a good job of spreading out the different tasks in like little tutorial tips at the beginning of levels that we're going to use a new skill to help kind of teach you the mindset you need to be in. But yeah, the difficulty kind of ramped up kind of quickly. I found myself stuck a couple times, and there's a lot of levels to this game, like a lot. I think there's like 30 plus levels per chapter, and there was a good amount of chapters. Like,
Yeah, I think there's 8.
There were mini games too, isn't there?
I don't know. I played the puzzle levels that I came across.
There's apparently a retro-style arcade cabinet in-game with train-themed mini-games. And one of them looks kind of like Space Invaders.
Okay. that's for people who are real good at the game.
So there's a whole lot more game waiting for you two, it seems.
I know. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, it is
my ass.
It is a $6.99 game from our friends at Silesia. It is not as cheap as the Kitty Cat games, but $7 isn't bad. What do you think of Teeny Tiny Trains?
I would say prepare yourself for like a mental challenge, but like I think it's a buy it for me.
I'm totally down for it. I think it's a buy it. I really like the concept. I like how simple it is, but how hard it is to master. So I'm totally for it. Mm-hmm.
Very good. We are in the home stretch. We got 4 games left, and they're all $5 games, so this should be a quickie wrap up here at the end. Next up is Speed Factor, developed by Light Up, published by Rat Lake Games, released December 5th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $4.99. Inspired by 80s and 90s classics, Speed Factor is an old-school racing game with pixelated graphics, arcade driving style, exhilarating punk rock music, and some awesome classic cars. Jacob, what's Speed Factor?
Speed Factor is, I mean, it's pretty much a retro 90s inspired arcade racer, and you're just racing from point A to point B, or sometimes you're doing laps, so not exactly point A to point B, but yeah, you're just racing against everybody. You're collecting like essentially like nitrous and some other stuff as you go around the track. And after you win, because inevitably you will, you can spend like your new winnings on stuff to improve your car or like change how it looks and stuff like that. Like, it's more in depth than I was expecting, in terms of like, you know, 90s arcade racer, kind of thing. And honestly, it was pretty fun. I don't like, there's no complaints as to like what it is, you know,
how's the music in the game? Cause they advertise punk rock soundtrack. How is the music?
I mean, it's not like Tony Hawk, but you know, it's one of those, like it sounds good enough.
All right.
It sounds some of them sound like melodies that like you might know, but like, or if like somebody was playing them when they're like half asleep, you know, close enough that you feel like you know it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, it's a $5 game. If you buy it in the next week, it's a $4 game. What do you think of $5?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool beans. Seems like an easy one. Any other thoughts?
No, check it out.
No thoughts, head empty.
Yeah. Next up, Centropia, Fruits Together, developed by, I'm not going to try that name, published by Badman. Huh?
I butchered that name earlier, so yeah.
There's a studio, I know that part, published by Bad Minions, Little Giant, released December 11th, Xbox platforms for $4.99 each. It'll hit PS and Switch soon. In Centropia, Fruits Together, cooperation is the main ingredient. Control fruits with unique abilities and solve puzzles full of creativity and charm. Rainbow emoji. Switch between fruits to press buttons, activate platforms, fans, and elevators, clearing the way so everyone can reach the level. Light bulb and star emoji. Collect stars scattered across the levels and discover that unity is the key to success. The final challenge, get all the fruits together on the balance, and the Centropy will be complete. Apple, grape, banana. Free. What is Centropia, Fruits Together?
So this is a relaxing puzzle platformer. You have no real time pressure. The music is pretty soothing. You start out as an apple doing apple things, like jumping out of fruit bowls. And you jump around collecting star fruit and getting to the end of the level, which is a scale. And then you're a grape doing grape things, like being small and fitting into small spaces. and you'll have some fans to help you move around the levels and gather stars and get to the exit. And then a few levels later, you're a cool banana with sunglasses doing banana things, like spreading your peel.
Banana.
Yeah, you spread your peel and you float down. And ultimately, you have to make your fruit work together, as later levels require you to switch from like your apple to your grape and then back again to hit different switches and finally get all your fruit to the scale. There isn't like a ton else to say about this, honestly. Like, the pixel art was cute. There's a fair amount of movement. I like the music. It has like a weird tropical vibe to it that kind of matched the fruit theme. I think there was around 30 levels. Sometimes the fans were a little tricky to get the character where it needed to go. Like, it was seemingly inconsistent, but otherwise I like this one.
Very good. Seems like a simple, fun one to pick up. $5 per platform. What are your thoughts?
Price is good. I can give this a buy it.
Akan Gaiba S Studio, that's my guess.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Next up, Winterlight, where Silent Says It All, developed by SMV Games and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft. Released December 3rd, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99. As Elias returns to the coastal town that once sheltered him, he's pulled into a slow winter of connection, memory, and quiet decisions. Take the role of this young man and guide the choices he makes, surrounded by the warmth of townspeople, young and old, often holding conversations in a bookstore over shared coffee. Explore a heartfelt and thought-provoking tale of bittersweet homecoming. Jacob, what is Winterlight?
So Winterlight is a story about somebody who's coming back home. They have to live with their, I think it's a grandma. Might be like an aunt or something like that. I forget. You're leaving behind like a big job. And like, you're just trying to pick up the pieces of everything afterwards. And at the same time, you also meet a couple new people and you try to establish friendships, maybe romances. While also dealing with life and itself. Honestly, the story and the dialogue are good, in my opinion. But the art style threw me for a loop because I like looked at it and I was like, this looks like it was done by AI, like all the backgrounds and stuff. And I kept going further and further into the game. And I was just like it reminds me of like when everyone was doing that Studio Ghibli filter on their photo. And sure enough, I go on the Steam page for Winterlight.
Oh, no.
There is an AI-generated content disclosure.
Oh. Some art has been generated using image generation tools. All images have been manually curated, adjusted, and edited to fit the game's tone and consistency, including color correction, visual cleanup, composition, and stylistic alignment. Blah, 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 blah. Like, even like, now that I see that, the art for the game, like the main tile on the store, looks like it has that piss colored AI tinge to it.
Yeah, the whole game is like that.
That fucking sucks.
I also played this one.
All right, Brie, what are your thoughts?
I thought that some of the descriptive writing was done really well. But the grammar,
it felt weird at points, and I was
the grammar was what threw me.
I was honestly wondering, like, you know, is this written by somebody who's like, you know, English isn't their first language?
That was my thought too.
But I was also like, did this dialogue get run through like AI or something? Like,
yeah,
it makes the whole thing question.
Through me a lot of times, and part of that is like when I do visual novels on stream, I'm reading them out loud, and so you have this combination of like needing to be formal about it and other also needing to make it kind of conversational, and it did not read well for me out loud, and that was irritating. But the story, man,
I'm like so bummed about the AI disclosure thing.
Yeah,
like that kills all my interest in a game. I don't know. It's $5. What do you two think?
The story is okay, but the art
It's pissing off.
Deal breaker. The thing is that there's too much, that ends up getting called into question about it, with like how much AI is actually used in this whole entire thing, and it's just, no,
it is annoying.
I could give it a try. It, I guess.
I don't know if I would, just because of the AI.
Yeah, the AI is a real bummer.
Like, it seems like there's a significant amount in the game.
Yeah, from just, what just I'm
based
reading.
Based on what you guys are saying.
Yeah, on the content thing, it seems like basically all of the art in the game was used, was made via AI. And then people came in and did some editing and stuff.
I don't know if all of it has. It says some art has been generated using generation tools.
But all the images have been manually curated. Yes,
all the generated images have been adjusted. But that doesn't mean all the images in the game are AI. But at this point, we don't know.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
All we can do is question at this point. If the cover's AI, what else is AI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slippery slope. Not good. All right. One final game to talk about tonight is Pixel World of Puzzles, developed and published by Score Studios. It released November 30th on Steam Early Access. Is a free-to-play game. Various DLCs available presently for $2.99 to $4.99 per pack. Do you like logic puzzles? Of course you do. What a silly question. Pixel World of Puzzles brings together all your favorite pixel puzzles in one addictive package. From classic nonagrams to color logic puzzles, from challenging brain scratchers to relaxing mind calmers, Pixel World of Puzzles is packed to the hilt, I say, with picture-based logic puzzles. Pixel Cross are classic nonagrams, Pixel Color Cross are color nonagrams, and Pixel Colors, which are currently under construction, are a brain-bending variation on the regular nonagrams. Aki, what's going on in Pixel World of Puzzles?
Okay, first and foremost, we've already established what kind of game this is. So, this has a Pixel Academy as well as Play Some Puzzles. Pixel Academy basically is your tutorial levels. They give you a handful of levels where they explain what to do, and then they give you some little questions to make sure you actually understood how the puzzle is solved and things like that. So lots of them are like, oh, here's how you can figure out which one of these spaces is definitely has a puzzle piece in it or definitely does not have one by here's your options of where everything could be, and this is what lines up in between them, so there either definitely is or definitely isn't something in that spot. And then later on, they ask you questions as a quiz at the end of going through all of that, of questions like that. Not all of them are correct, which really bothers me. And they go through it. Basically, each individual type of puzzle has its own little 4 to 5 part set of tutorials and a quiz at the end to make sure you actually understood everything. So even if you don't really know how to play all these, you have 3 different tutorials basically for each different type of puzzle. And then when you go and play the puzzles, you're given a gigantic list of puzzles that you can play at your leisure. Right off the bat, you get for free 50 of each type that are individuals. And with that, there's 2 different ways of playing it. There's the standard way and a challenge way. The standard way allows you to do things like, oh, do you want hints? It's not timed. I don't think there's any specific restrictions where if you get it, click something wrong so many times, it says, oh, try again and start from the beginning. I don't think that's in the normal one, but all that is in the challenge. And there is also a leaderboard, which is cheated right now, sadly. It happens. And yeah, you get 50 for each different type, as well as every month they give you a giant list of ones that open up each individual day. And even if you miss a day, you can go back and replay that days if you want. But you can't play any of the future days until that day has passed. So they're constantly giving you a stream of new ones, thankfully, which is pretty cool. And then each pack ends up giving you a whole bunch of ones in different fields. Do you remember what pack I got, Joe? Because I don't remember the name of the pack I got.
Let me double check. I believe we just got starter pack keys. Score Studios was nice enough to hook us up with the starter pack DLC keys. That includes, oh god, what does it have?
It includes a lot.
Four Picross puzzle packs, or Pixel Cross puzzle packs, four color puzzle packs, and four pixel lines packs, with over 250 puzzles for $3.
Yeah. Each one of these in that pack are split, like how there was four packs for like the Pixel Cross version. They're split between things that you search for, foods, I think construction items, and then animals. And then there's another one that's like, oh, I think it's Japan-centric ones, sea-specific ones, summer-specific ones, and then
they have a couple of
farms.
They have a couple of different DLC packs available right now. They're trying to focus on how this plays as a free-to-play product without figuring in spending any money on DLC. So how does this play as a free-to-play game? With what's available at the start, the daily challenges, all of that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think at first it is really good, especially because you get all of this stuff for free right at the beginning. Once you've completed all of that, it becomes a little harder to be like, oh yeah, you're going to keep coming back, because then you're going to come back for like 5 minutes and solve the new daily, and that's all you got until you buy a DLC pack. So at first it's really good, but the longer you have it, the less good it is, because you've solved more and more of the puzzles, so they're less of a reason to come back for it. So
that's why you buy stuff, and they'll be updating it through early access with new games, new puzzles, everything. They are hoping, Score Studios is hoping, that this becomes the quote definitive version of Pixel, because they've released a number of Pixel titles on Nintendo and on PC, and they're looking to make this like the hub of all things Pixel. And they even have Steam Workshop level editing in the game.
Yes, I did not fill around too much with that, but players can make their own levels and upload them and download other players as well. So if this gets popular, and I believe it very well will amongst the people who like these styles of games, I think this is going to do really well. And I think it's going to have a fuck ton of stuff, user created content that you'll be able to access and have plenty of stuff to play. And as long as they keep making puzzle packs just to add some new stuff to it, maybe once or twice a year, something like that.
Oh, you're going to get it way more really than once or twice a year, I guarantee you.
Yeah, but even if it was only once or twice a year, that'd be fine. Score
Studios is really good at putting out content for the Pixel game. And the crazy thing is, Score Studios is one person. All these Pixel games are solo dev. That is insane to me, with how many there are and how good they are.
Yeah, as a free-to-play title, it's fine. As long as you're buying the packs, though, it's an amazing game. So just keep buying the packs. It makes this game insane. It gives you so much, and all those packs are so cheap. I think they're all like $3 to $5 or something like that.
Yeah, there are four available now. Two of them are $2.99, one's $3.99, And the last one is $4.99, and more will release over time. Free to play. What do you think? Should people follow this, ignore this, download it because it's free? What do you think?
I think this is totally worth playing. And if you really, really end up liking it, I think that all the DLC is so fucking cheap, you should be picking up the DLC as they come out. Just because you clearly like the game, might as well get this DLC because it's more of the same. And they're really well made.
Indeed. And for people who are fans of the games, I just looked on Steam and Pixel Cross Adventure, also from Score Studios, is available on Steam right now for $1. 99 cents.
The free game right now.
Normally 10 on sale for a single dollar. So
kinky bow jingles.
Yep. And with that, we are done. That is it for this episode. We made it through. We talked Game Awards. We talked news. Yep. Talked a shit ton of reviews. And we're gonna wrap things up with some Christmas music, like usual, for our December shows.
Woohoo! I'm tired.
Me too.
I'm excited for next week, though.
Yeah, next week might be final show of the year. Or it could be the show after that. I don't know. We're still trying to figure everything out.
Yep.
Yay, yeah. Scheduling.
Stay tuned for more SML Podcast.
In fact, you should just hang out in the Twitch stream the entire time.
You
should.
You know why? Because we do giveaways.
You don't want to lose your place in line.
We do giveaways on Twitch, and I think we should do one now. What do you think?
I love it. Let's sure. do it.
Big shout out again to Ocean Media for hooking us up with all of these 5 packs of codes. And the next winner, tonight is M317. You just got yourself a 5-pack of Ocean Media Games.
Did you say it was faptastic, Aki?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. All right.
Hey, whatever works, right? Does anyone have any final words? The show?
Fuck AI up the ass.
I can agree with that one, yeah. Anyone else? AI thoughts?
I, for one, you know, welcome our robot overlords eventually, and, you know, I look forward to serving them.
You would, you degenerate.
Yeah, buddy.